And I'm so thankful you're here this morning. I know you had to navigate quite a bit of weather to get here, and it is raining outside, but Jesus reigns on the inside, and He is alive and well. I'm so grateful that you're here as we celebrate His presence, His faithfulness, His goodness, His mercy, His grace, and the fact that this is the last Sunday of 2019, and we're about to step into the most amazing year, 2020. And we're looking forward to that. Maybe you had this experience over Christmas time. Maybe you had several different stops. And as you walk into the living room or into the den, you notice under the tree are very neatly wrapped presents. And everything seems to be so orderly and so calm and so peaceful. And it just brings a calm over you as you enter that room. And then once the fun commences, once the gifts are exchanged, it's almost as though a tornado has come through. And then there is paper, there are bows scattered everywhere, and it looks like total chaos. And that's such an accurate picture of living life on a broken planet and doing life in a fallen world. There are times in your life where everything is neatly wrapped and orderly and things are just going your way and it just feels just right. And you're like, if we could just stay in this moment, if we could just make this moment extend. But then you get surprised by life. You get surprised by circumstances. And before you know it, sometimes you go through seasons of life where it does feel like paper and bows scattered everywhere and a tornado has come through. That's called life. And what I want to examine in God's Word this morning is how God brings us back into order. How God brings order in the midst of chaos. How God brings alignment in our relationship with Him and with other people. If you have your Bibles with you or a smartphone, if you'll join me in Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to be near the end of the chapter, Joshua chapter 24. And we're going to see how the children of Israel in the book of Joshua drifted from God's best and slipped into immorality. And here at the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua is calling them back into alignment with God's will and God's way. Remember, they had crossed the Jordan River, and it was so powerful in that moment as they were on the banks of the Jordan River and the priests were carrying the ark, that the ark was in their hands, this representation of the presence of God. And the water didn't part until they were willing to go ankle deep, and then the children of Israel crossed on dry ground to enter what we call the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. But what they came to learn by experience is that this land had honey, but also bees. It was a land of conquest. A land where you had to keep walking with God and keep trusting God. And they experienced seasons in their journey, and a whole generation died off and another generation was raised up. And they experienced these seasons where their lives were orderly and they were honoring God, and then they would drift into sin. And that became a pattern. So here is Joshua near the end of his life bringing them back together for this covenant renewal. And I think it's very fitting for us as we come to the eve of the new year, and we're so close to 2020, that we would see what Joshua would say to us through God's holy word in Joshua 24, verse 23, where he said to them, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." Now, this is after Joshua declared, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house," said with me, "we will serve the Lord." And then they were talking about, well, we're in. We'll do that. And Joshua said, "You can't serve the Lord." And he highlighted their rebellion and drifting from God. And then he brings them back. And they said, "No, we will serve the Lord. We want to serve the Lord." And then he says to them, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you. And incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." Here's a phrase I want you to write down as we move out of 2019 into 2020. What can we learn from 2019 to help us live in clarity and victory in 2020? Here's a phrase I want you to write down. Be wise, review, and revise. Be wise, review, and revise. How many of you enjoyed a full day of football yesterday? Would you raise your hand? How many of you were blessed beyond measure? How many of you were, well, this didn't go your way? And what you notice, and it's so much fun watching football because you have a first half and a second half, and really the first half is not all that important based on how you perform the second half. And what I love about in between is the halftime talk. And even if the team is down, it looks like there's no way they'll come back. I love how at halftime there's been so many turnarounds because the coach comes in and gets them realigned and refocused and reordered and brings them back to the basics and says, now here's what we're going to do. You're made for this. Pour your heart into this. Fulfill your assignment, do your job, give your best. They go out in the second half, and so often they win the game. And it brings us to shouting ground. I want you to think about that as we look at these steps. Be wise, review, and revise. Here's step number one as we transition from 2019 into 2020. Step number one, if you'll write it down, review your spiritual markers. If you want to gain clarity in 2020, have God's 2020 vision for your life, review your spiritual markers. Now, you can go back beyond 20 and 19 and look back to your upbringing and just look at the different spiritual markers in your life, and I love to revisit those often, to be reminded of God's grace, to be reminded that it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not a work so that no one can boast. And I travel back to March 28, 1979, when God revealed to me my sin and my separation from Him and revealed to me that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and I turned from my sin and trusted in Jesus alone for salvation and became a child of God. That's a major spiritual marker. Whenever we were reading Psalm 100 a moment ago, it made me think about the Sunday after I graduated from high school in 1987 when I pastored my first church, Lakeside Baptist Church, and got little business cards, and I used Psalm 100, verse 2, and I've just put a little tagline, serving the Lord with gladness. 1987. And here we are in 2019, about to enter 2020, and I wonder, are we still serving the Lord with gladness? So it's good to review those spiritual markers. When you look at chapter 24 in total, you'll see where they revisited those spiritual markers. And notice God's provision, how God was true to His nature and character, how God provides all your needs according to His riches and glory, how God knows just what you need at the moment you need it, and God is always on time and God is never late. And they began to review the spiritual markers in their journey with God and to celebrate God's activity. So what about you? What are your spiritual markers in your life? Where are those moments where you encountered God? Where are those moments where you felt like you were in the fourth quarter with a few seconds left, and then God showed up and God came through? Step number two, review your spiritual drifting. There's a proclivity that we combat in our flesh as we combat the world, Satan, and our own flesh. There's a proclivity to drift from God. You'll be walking with God, obeying God, living in alignment with His purpose and plan for your life, and then you start that mission drift. Or you start coasting, or you start moving into mediocrity. Or maybe you become lukewarm, or you're neither hot nor cold. And Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. It makes me want to spew you out of my mouth. But we are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love, as the hymn says. So review your spiritual drifting. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. Let me get you a couple action steps to plug in here. First of all, identify idols. That's just how the enemy works. He will allow idols to seep into your life. and start working in your life to cause you to drift from God. And we have to identify those. I remember my first year here in 2007. I went with Brent Johnson and a team to Asia to go on a mission trip, and we were there to lead missionaries who were serving that culture and engaging that culture with the gospel. We were there to minister to them, to give them a time of retreat. So we were meeting in a hotel there, and it had a pool, and just to let the families have some time to disconnect, and we would just serve the families, and I would preach and share the word of God with them, and we would lead in worship in their heart language, English. And I remember one morning I went outside to have my quiet time, went out by the pool and had my journal and my red pen that I always use, and I was just kneeling down by the pool, and I began to just to write every known sin that God would bring to my attention. Lord, just reveal sin in me, anything that's hindered my love relationship with you, anything from birth till now. I began just to write anything that would come to my mind and just write it out. While I was doing that, there was a man at the pool area pouring in acid and treating the pool and shocking the pool. And it was so fascinating whenever I put the paper in the water and said, Lord, I'm just going to place this before you and plead the blood of Jesus, confessing my sin, knowing you are faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And as I was just simply twirling that paper in the water, and it just got saturated. And all of a sudden, the ink started lifting off of the paper as that acid and that shock interacted with it. And just a reminder that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And as we heard Scripture read a moment ago, God takes our sin and places it as far as the east is from the west, but we must be willing to identify that sin. And then to eliminate idols. Not only to identify them, but to eliminate them. Joshua said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you. When you look at that previous generation, they came out of Egypt. Now they've got to get Egypt out of them. And you've been delivered from the sting of death and the sting of hell and the power and the grip of the enemy and the power and the grip of sin. Now we've got to get sin out of us. We've been delivered out of Egyptian bondage. Now let's get Egypt out of us. Eliminate idols. And that's something that will be part of our daily routine, is identifying and eliminating idols. Proverbs 28:13, if you'll write that down. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Love how one of my mentors, Dr. Johnny Hunt, would say it. Whatever you cover, God will uncover. And whatever you uncover, God will cover. Be wise. Review and then revise. Which brings us to step number 3. Revise your stewardship. Revise your stewardship. Your life is stewardship. What you do with your life before holy God is your stewardship. And I want to challenge us this morning as we prepare for 2020. I want to ask, how are we allocating our time and energy and resources? Because here's the bottom line. You make room for what you value. There's a storage unit location near our home, that self-storage location. They're popping up everywhere. And I love what their sign said. When you create space, amazing things happen. When you create space, amazing things happen. Look at verse 24 of Joshua 24. I love the response of the people. And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." I pray that that will be our commitment this morning. As we renew our passion for God, as we renew our passion for the things of God, as we surrender to his lordship and his leadership here in 2019, preparing to step into 2020 with clarity, with victory, with passion. My prayer is that we'll renew our commitment to the Lord and say, Father, we're going to be wise. We're going to review and we're going to revise. We're going to review and we're going to revise. And may our prayer be, Lord our God, we will serve you and we will obey your voice.
We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.